You're Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators Podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators Podcast.
Welcome inside episode 425 of the Locked On Senators Podcast. I'm Ross Levitan on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, alongside Brandon Piller up in the Blue Mountains. And the Sens have now played 10 games on the season after a 5-1 loss on home ice to the Vegas Golden Knights. This is a Vegas team without Mark Stone, without Matt Pacioretty, and without newly acquired Jack Eichel, but they still dominated a Sens team that still just isn't putting in a 60-minute effort. We'll have a full recap of that game. We'll look at some bigger trends that have emerged through these first 10 games. And hey, at least the test gets easier tomorrow. Going up against the two-time back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. We'll preview that game and a whole lot more. This is the Locked On Senators Podcast, your team every day. Today is Friday, November 5th, and Pilsy, Nikita Zaitsev with a healthy scratch last night, but that did not fix the Sens' defensive woes.
Yeah, different decor, same result. I mean, it's pretty clear now that Nikita Zaitsev was part of the problem, but not the problem. The problem is the whole group as a collective. I mean, I'll take Zub and Shabbat out of there. I don't think necessarily the defensive breakdowns can be put on them, but the other four, whoever those other four are in the other two pairings, they just can't seem to get it done. And I think last night, Ross, my eyes were glued, unfortunately, to Uncle Deli. Like, Delzotto was out of coverage, lackadaisical a bunch of times. Like, there was, it seemed like every goal that Vegas scored, there was a guy wide open, and you're sitting there going, where's the defenseman? Where's a player? Where is someone to cover this guy who's just allowed to stand in the slot and gets the puck? And Gustafsson, poor guy, he's making 10 bell saves all over the ice, and that's the kind of support he gets. And he can't stop them all, especially when there's multiple chances of Vegas players who are just wide open out front.
Yeah, another problem is the lack of consistency through the second period. First period, again, Ottawa deserved better fate. It was no score after the first period. And a big reason for that was Robin Leonard. He made some 10 bell saves, pulling that one off the goal line from Austin Watson. You're not going to see a better one than that. Yeah. But is this a matter of sticking with it a little bit better? Because, yeah, it seemed like there was just some porous defensive coverage early in that second period.
Yeah, it definitely was a case of that. Like, that first period, I thought to myself, like, man, all four lines are rolling here. And I mentioned in yesterday's episode the fourth line for the Sens, and sure, you can joke all you want that a fourth line isn't going to do much, but that fourth line, DJ Smith said it himself too, was their best line last night, and they ended up getting a decent chunk of minutes, and I thought whenever they were out there, they were controlling pace of play, they were checking hard, they were being aggressive. Like, Sanford, it's nice to be saying this, but once again, I would say he had an even better game than before. Like, he looked good once again. And Gambrell, I saw a couple of nice spots from him. He almost had a goal as well. I really thought that Austin Watson, I mean, you want to get that goal, but he was off balance, and at least he got a good chance there. So that fourth line really picked it up. And I mean, that's a small victory we can take from this 5-1 loss, but that definitely is something I can point to as a positive.
So Filip Gustavsson, I want to get into that a little bit, because now you're looking at a situation where it's back-to-back games where you're saying, oh, he played well, but then you look and he's let in 5 goals. So how long can that continue?
Yeah. But here's the thing, right, Ross? Like, we're a goalie-friendly show. Like, if you're DJ Smith, are you sitting there being like, you know what? I need to get Filip Gustavsson out of the net here, and then we can finally start winning, right? Like, that's not the problem. And you've seen, like, Gustavsson has been, over this small sample size of the season, has been better than Forsberg and better than Murray, in my opinion. So you got to keep going back to him. Like, he's a reason that they were even in this game at all. Like, if that's Forsberg or Matt Murray on one of their bad nights, Oh my God, we're talking. I don't know how you stretch this worse than a 5-1 win, but that could probably have been the case. So I think they should stick with three goalies for now, until we see some improved play from Brännström down in the AHL, or maybe Lassie Thompson gets healthy and that can be some reinforcements for this team. But for now, I think you got to keep going with Philly franchise because he is giving this team a chance to win. His teammates just aren't doing anything to help him out.
That first goal, Delzato just loses Carrier backside.
Like, but it's also no effort whatsoever. Like, he's just standing there kind of hanging out, making $2 million, being on the ice. And he knows Carrier's right there, and he doesn't do anything. And the problem with that Carrier goal, Ross, is Gustafsson slides across expecting a bullet to be coming off that stick, and he flukes on it. So Gustafsson kind of is just like, face planting forward. Yeah, exactly. It's the old changeup, and it definitely worked on him that time.
Yeah, Dadonov with the assist on that one, which is what, 1/7 of the amount he had in 56 games last year for Ottawa. That being said, once it kind of rained, it poured. Another brutal attempt at clearing for Delzato. He goes and chases in the corner. And then while he's doing that, Holden loses his man in front. So all of a sudden, bingo, bango, bongo. It's 2-0 there for Vegas.
Yeah, that's a tough one for sure. And that's when
guys are really just so wide open.
So wide open. Yeah, it's crazy. And that's when you're like, okay, maybe we're losing a grip of this game. And that's tough because, sure, that 1-0 goal, not a great start, but you're still in this game. Like, all it takes is a couple good shifts, some momentum, and you can get right back into this. But then the 2-0 one, that's kind of a tough one to come back from. And like this Vegas team with half their forward core out, at least their stars, they were taking the Sens to school in simple things. DJ Smith talked about it, in forechecking, not turning the puck over, transitioning the puck up the ice. These are simple things that they were just making smart, easy plays, and they were doing it right every time. And the Senators just couldn't catch up. They're playing catch up all night long.
Who was more open? Was it Brett Howden, on the second goal, or Marchessault on the third goal? Because Victor Mete had no idea where he was. He chases on the far side. Puck ends up hitting him, and then it goes out, and Marchessault is just wide open. Tap it in. Just tap it in.
What a fun game, Ross. Which defensive coverage was worse here? The Howden one was pretty bad for me, not just thinking back quickly, but both those second goals, the player was wide open, and that can't happen, especially like I said, especially when this is a weak forward core. Like, imagine Mark Stone, Pacioretty, and Jack Eichel were on this team in last night's game. Oh my God. Like, again, I can't even stretch a 5-1 loss much more, but it would have happened.
Yep, it sure would. The shots on goal, 39-39, by the way. Ottawa winning 60% of the faceoffs and doubled up Vegas in hits, but still ultimately could not come out on top in a game that didn't have many penalties. Each team with just one power play. Ottawa's penalty late in the second period, Brady was pretty unhappy about it. He was all business in that second intermission interview. He also got Ottawa on the scoreboard, albeit it was already 3-0 at that point. So he brings it to 3-1 with about 4 minutes left. And you didn't expect to see the quit, I think, in the third period. You know, they did put out a bit of an effort in the first half. And ultimately, it was 14 minutes into the period. Vegas makes it 4-1. And at that point, you know, pack it in. 3 minutes later, it's 5-1, right? So it kind of got away from them there at the end.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I like DJ Smith's idea to pull the goalie there down 4-1 because you got to at least create a competitive scenario for these players. Sure. Like, it's sure, the Minnesota Wild game, they ended up coming back at a great game. But that game against Chicago, there wasn't a lot of compete at the end of the game there. So I think it's a good idea to try to do that. But ultimately, and we talked about it yesterday, Ross, like, if you can't beat these teams when they're down and down bad, you're not going to have success at all throughout this season. Like Vegas can't be expected to win that game. The Toronto Maple Leafs destroyed them 4-0. They come to Ottawa, and this is what happens. Like, they're just eating up this Sens team.
And why are there so many Vegas Golden Knights fans in Ottawa? Like,
yeah, that is weird.
What is going on? Every time they scored, like, half the building erupted.
Yeah, it was weird. And there was a good handful of fans in full Vegas gear. So
yeah,
that is weird. Very weird. Yeah, agreed.
Also weird. I'm rewatching that third goal and I'm blaming Mete. And sure, he does leave his man. Why is Josh Brown at the top of the faceoff circle? He's not even on the same planet.
Yeah, Josh Brown, I think he's got to be the next guy to go. And I think it was pretty clear.
They were talking on the TSN 1200 post-game show. They were saying that the Vegas execs were yelling down at the ice, telling their players to dump it in his corner. That's a pretty big indictment.
Definitely. And I think the Vegas players, they didn't need their managers yelling from the press boxes to do that. They were doing it already. The only penalty of the game was a dump in Josh Brown's corner. And then Marchessault trips him up, or they called it a cross check. I don't know.
But whatever it was, he was lucky that was called, because he was giving that puck away either way.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I think Marchessault was just like, you got this one, Brownie, but I'm back on the ice, I'm dumping in your corner once again, and you might not get that call. So, yeah, you know, Josh Brown, he should be a seventh defenseman, right? Like, he should be a guy you bring in if there's injuries for a couple games, if you want to add some size, some toughness for certain opponents that play that style of game, but he shouldn't be a guy that is getting into this roster every single game, and then maybe you're deciding whether to take him out or not. Like, I don't think that's quite the role for him, and it's pretty clear early on here that that's the role that a bunch of these Ottawa Senators defensemen in are not the role for them.
That's the scariest part to me, is this decor is what the management wanted going into the season.
And they thought their offseason was done. Like, oh, nice. We got Holden. We got Delzato.
Yeah, we're good.
Back it in. This decor is set. The rebuild is over.
Unbelievable, really, when you watch it night in and night out. The Pierres can't stay packed for too long. Something's got to give. We'll discuss that, as the Senators have allowed 15 goals against in their last three games. Is it three games? That is absolutely
three games,
insane.
Five goals, all losses.
Whoa. So grab a Built Bar, the protein bar that feels like a candy bar. Comes in 16 amazing flavors, 8 nut free, 8 have nuts as well if you prefer that, but all Built Bars are soft and easy to chew. Built Bars are great for the health conscious guy or girl, because you can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, but they're high in protein and fiber, a perfect nutritional grand slam. The promo code is LOCKED15. So go to BuiltBar.com or even just Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. All right, Pilsy. So the Ottawa Senators are 3-6-1 now on the season. Only one win in their last 7 games. And now they get the defending back-to-back champs, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are coming off an overtime loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. What are you expecting to see on Saturday from this Sens team?
I mean, this is their work is cut out for them. Like, you go from a down-and-out Vegas team who, if they were healthy, would be just as equal as a match as Tampa. And you're going up against a Tampa team that, from what I know, is pretty much fully healthy. So there's not going to be any easy spots in that lineup.
Yeah,
so,
except for Kucherov, but they're used to playing without him.
Yeah, that's their strategy. He's just getting ready for playoffs there. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a tough task. Steven Stamkos is lighting it up this year. I think he has 12 points in 10 games. So he's going to be a force to be reckoned with, especially when Kucherov is out. They definitely lean on Stamkos a little bit more. Guys like Braden Point, Anthony Cirelli, like, this whole team is just stacked when it comes to centermen. So without Shane Pinto, the centermen for the Ottawa Senators are going to have a real tough time here. Although, Ross, they did win the faceoff battle up against Vegas last night, so there's a hint of positivity going into this game. But matinee games, I feel like the Sens don't do very well in the afternoon. And then add on to that, they're coming off a terrible loss against a weak team. And their opponent is back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, yikes. That'll help. It's the second and third star of the week in the NHL going head-to-head. Of course, Drake Batherson was the second star, and Alex Killorn, who's got 10 points, and seven of them are goals in his first 10 games. This team, they can just beat you in so many different ways, right? Even look up and down their lineup, guys on the fourth line, third line, who just don't really get the notoriety that their top-end guys do, but they're all contributing. Now, one area that maybe they're looking to improve on a little bit is, and I say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but is that the depth that I'm mentioning right now and saying that it's so good, but you look at the numbers, like Corey Perry only one assist, minus four. I don't know what you're really expecting going into this game. And then on their back end, they do rely heavily on their top four, which is two more than the Sens can say they rely on. And so what you got to do if you're the Sens is when that third pair is on the ice for that 10, 12 minutes, make sure the ice is tilted into Tampa's end.
Yeah, I mean, that's about all you can do. Yeah, is hope that you can beat up on them there. And it's going to be interesting to see whether they go with Vasilevsky or Brian Elliott in this game. But I'm sure just as it seems all other former Ottawa Senator goalies, Brian Elliott probably has a great record up against the Sens too. So that maybe not even be helping that much. So that's going to be interesting to see where they go there. Oh, your reaction tells me the same.
He's 6-0-2 against the Sens.
Come on.
Never
Leonard
lost.
9-0. Isn't he 9-0-1 now? Elliott 6-0-2. Jesus.
Yeah. 924 save percentage for Brian Elliott. 9 games, 6-0-2. He's just, oh my God, you can't make this stuff up. You know what? I want to say Vasilevsky hasn't played his best hockey against Ottawa. I gotta look that one up, but I feel like compared to his career average, this guy's a career 920 save percentage. He's absolutely unbelievable. Do you want to pull up and see, does Tampa play either on Saturday or on Sunday? Or sorry, Friday or Sunday? Let's Is this a back-to-back here. For them? While you're pulling that up, Vasilevsky, an 895 save percentage against Ottawa in 12 games. 7-5 record, but an 895 save percentage. Is that – it's the second worst of any team that he's played against and the worst of any team he's played more than five games against. So
there we go. Well,
are the Sens hoping for Vasilevsky?
I think so, and there's not a back-to-back scenario here. The okay. Lightning play the Hurricanes on Tuesday, so – yeah, I never thought I'd say this, but hopefully we see Andrei Vasilevsky up against the Sens other than Brian Elliott here. I mean, that what a world. And you mentioned Corey Perry's stats. I think at this point in Corey Perry's career, I think teams are all but understand he's not going to be a regular season guy. He can put up no points in the regular season, and I think they'd be okay with that because they got this guy for postseason. Like, they could have just waited until the last moment to sign him because he's a postseason guy. He's been to the Stanley Cup Finals, same amount as those other guys on Tampa, back-to-back years. So he knows what it takes to get there. He hasn't been able to win, but he's on a winning culture now. And him and Pat Maroon, if they're on the same line, that is some nasty stuff going on.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Pat Maroon, right? Because he's been there three times in a row going back to his time with the St. Louis Blues. One area I think the Sens need to be worried about, well, there's probably more than one, but the Tampa Bay power play has yet to explode like we've seen in years past. Only 16% right now, 23rd in the National Hockey League, far behind Ottawa's, that's up at 22%, and they're up at 13th in the NHL. So I would see that as a ticking time bomb if I'm Ottawa and try to keep them off. I think they did a good job of maintaining discipline last game. We discussed already only the one penalty. It was a Brady Tkachuk offensive zone penalty in the second period. So beyond that, I think Ottawa's done a good job discipline-wise, but they're going to have to maintain that if they want any chance of winning this game.
Well, here's the difference too, Ross, is typically you take penalties when you're outmatched, right? Like when a guy is faster, stronger, smarter, and you got to hook him, trip him, do what you got to do to contain him. Vegas didn't have many players on their team that can provide that scenario, right? Like maybe Marchessault, that's about it. Like Riley Smith's a good player, but he's not like a speed demon or insanely skilled. So like really there was no need for the Sens to go out of the rule book to try to contain them. Tampa,
go ahead.
Different story. Right? Like they're going to have to try to find a way to contain Braden Point, to contain Steven Stamkos, to contain Alex Killorn, who's having a hot start. And that's when you fall into undisciplinary plays, and that's when you take penalties. So that's what I'm worried about here.
I think the question all Sens fans are asking is, how can Timmy get going? Still zero goals on the season. And you can only say, oh, he's playing well for so long. Like, what does he need to do to break that goose egg?
Well, he's got to pounce on a goalie that doesn't play well up against the Sens. That's what he's got to do there, right? So I think maybe this matinee game at home up against defending Stanley Cup champs, that'll pump some passion into his veins, and we see something here, because it was a tough night for Timmy last night, that's for sure.
It was a tough night for everybody. A 5-1 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. We were supposed to have Gord Wilson on today. We teased it on yesterday's show. Unfortunately, timing didn't work out. No worse the while. We'll get him on sometime next week. So a bit of a Frankenstein episode, not take you inside the sausage too much, but we're recording this after the rest of the show. We thought we were just going to plop Gordo in here, but unfortunately things didn't work out that way. So Pilsy, anything else that you want to touch on for tomorrow's game? Because for me, it's just like, I'm nervous. I think that this could be the makings of a fourth consecutive game where they allow five or more.
Well, you took it right out of my mouth, Ross. My goal for the Saturday game is allow less than five goals.
Oh, okay. Allow less than five, have a chance to win. I like that.
They don't even need to have a chance to win, Ross. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Allow less than five goals. Let's start there.
Remember, this is a busy stretch of Sens hockey right now, right? They play 17 games in the month of November. They've got this one coming up against Tampa, and it doesn't get any easier. At Boston next week, and then home for three games. And this is where I think that you can't take a deep breath, like especially the LA Kings are playing well this year, and Pittsburgh as also. But when it comes down to it, that's a stretch here where you get through this game at Tampa, you get through the Boston game, and then you got to win at least two out of three on that homestand. Would you say to get back into it, LA, Pittsburgh, and Calgary?
Yeah, I mean, and look, LA, that's a rebuilding team kind of at your weight class. So that's a team you should be able to beat. And then you're up against the AHL Pittsburgh Penguin team, from what I know, is they're still dealing with heavy injury problems. So
Sid's back, though.
Yeah, Sid's back. That definitely helps. But that's another team where if they have some players down and out, you got to try to jump on that. So hopefully they can get the two wins there, because I think Calgary's rolling these days. So it might be hard to sneak a W away from them.
And just as we finish up recording right now, Mikhail Sergachev will have a hearing today. He had an illegal check to the head on Mitch Marner. So the Sens might get lucky by association. The fact that I think he might get a game for that.
I didn't think it was that bad. Like, the angle I saw, it looked like classic case of big man hits little man. And he got initial contact with the shoulder, but then I think Marner's head kind of whipped over. So, and hey, I'm not a Marner guy, but I'm not definitely want this league to stay safe, and hits to the head are very, very dangerous, and I don't want any part of that in any of this game. But I thought it was a legal hit that just, it ends up being a size difference that causes that.
The Sens are back in action tomorrow afternoon. Note the afternoon start time, 2 p.m. against the defending back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. They've been betting favorites, give or take, every game since they won that first Stanley Cup. Pilsy, why don't you give us a word from our friends at Bet Online before we look at a few bigger trends that have emerged with this Sens team?
Yeah, absolutely. And spoiler alert, guys, I'm still out of money on betonline.ag. I'm taking this week off. We'll be back next weekend. Ross, that is definitely some great gambling advice, and the Tampa Bay Lightning money line were a big part of my recipe for success last season, so I'm going to be bringing that recipe back this season when I get some more money in my betonline.ag account. But speaking of which, we got a way for you to get some money in your betonline.ag account, and that's because betonline.ag is the exclusive online sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network and the Locked On Senators Podcast. So because you're a loyal listener, you can sign up today with a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get 50% of a welcome bonus. So math guy here, let's say you put $100 into your account, bingo, bango, bongo, you're going to get $50 in free play money. And with that free play money, you can bet on everything: football, basketball, hockey, golf, whatever your sport, F1, whatever your sport is, go for it at betonline.ag. Your online sportsbook experts. Get off the sidelines, get into the action. Head to betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus.
All right, Pilsy. So the Ottawa Senators are now 10 games into their season and they have 3 wins. They are 3-6-1. And that is disappointing when you look at how they ended last season. No question about that. And it's pretty easy when you're just looking at, okay, what are some trends here that have emerged? Well, in their first 5 games, they only allowed 12 goals. Defensively, they were strong, and they were going up against good teams too, right? Like the Rangers. I mean, that game was a bit of a gong show in itself for different reasons, but they held Toronto twice under 3 goals, 3 and 2 goals respectively in the 2 games there. They were still only 2-3 below 500, but the defensive unit at least seemed reasonable. 2.4 goals against average, that would work out to. That's almost doubled since then. 23 goals against in their last 5 games, Pilsy. Like, is there something that you can pin to that, or is it just the entirety? Basically, what we recapped in this last game, just the defensive zone coverage.
Well, I mean, something I can pin to that, Ross, is no Shane Pinto. And you might not think of that, like, when you're thinking of the decor, you're like, well, what does that have to do with the decor? Well, when you don't have that solid kind of centerman to play second line center minutes, it's going to have a trickle down effect. And we talked about it. That moves Nick Paul over to center. He's better as a winger. That leaves Tim Stützle kind of floating in no man's land. Where is he going to play? He doesn't have a centerman that really clicks with him right now. And the whole lineup is affected by this. I mean, the Sens had to go out and acquire a guy just to fill a fourth line center role. So I think the biggest issue and the biggest turnaround from this has been, like, what game was Shane Pinto injured? I forget.
It was the Rangers game.
And that's where your stats change, isn't it?
Yep.
So I think it's pretty obvious how important it is that Shane Pinto stays in this lineup. And it's sad to say that this team is
sad.
Relying upon, what, is 20. He 22?
No, he's 20.
A 20-year-old kid that just finished college hockey. And without him, they're just crumbling here. And I mean, there's more to it too. Like Colin White, if he gets in as your third line center, that shifts things down, and you hope that helps your defensive acumen as well, as he's definitely touted as these days more of a defensive guy than offensive. I'm not sure if that really is pointing towards how good he is defensively or just how bad he is offensively. You can take your pick there, but every team is injured. Vegas Golden Knights didn't make any excuses about injuries last night. Let's just say that. So really, this team's going to have to step it up. It's a young team, so there's a lot being put on these young guys. But Brady Tkachuk said it. They realized that a lot of those mistakes were immature, and everybody needs to step up here.
They certainly do. Shane Pinto is 20 years old for another week. November 12th, he turns 21. So we can't say that for much longer. But just the fact that he's that valuable to the team. I mean, the record shows 11-3-1 when he's in the lineup in the last 2 seasons, and about 20 games below 500 when he's not. So it really does matter. And he was wearing a non-contact jersey at practice. We'll see what happens, but something else has to give. Like, they can't keep trotting out this decor. And DJ Smith, he didn't single out the decor. He said everybody. I would be surprised if at the next practice, we're recording very early today, so you can follow us on Twitter at Sens Central, and we'll break down any lineup news there. But the real problem here is that internally, there's not many options. You can give Branstrom a chance if you really want. I mean, it can't be worse than what we're seeing out there. But ultimately, I don't think he's going to be an X factor. I think you might have to start looking at trade here.
Yeah, and I mean, if there's one thing Pierre Dorion does, it's trading. I think he's made more trades in his tenure than anyone else since he's been here. I would be confident in saying that. The Sens make a lot of trades. However, they make a lot of trades because they can't seem to get it right. like, sure, it's exciting for us as podcasters to be able to talk about these transactions, but the good teams, like, how many trades does Vegas make? Not many, but they make good trades, right? Like, they don't just fish around and see what's going on. They say, here's a player we want, let's get him. Whereas the Sens are kind of like, what's available? Let's see what we can do here. And that hasn't helped out. They still have so many of these veteran defensemen. Like Nick Holden, I don't know, he's all right. Like, but Delly has been, it'd be better to not play him than to play him at this point. Like, he's made so many mistakes. He's a dash every night. And I don't love what I see from him. So I think they're going to have to make a trade here as well. But where, like, usually when a team makes a trade, Ross, there's two directions the team is going. They're trying to compete for a Stanley Cup, or they're rebuilding. If you're the Ottawa Senators, I don't know what trade direction you head in here. Do you? Like, part of me thinks that almost, like, it's too early to say this, but I don't know if they trade future assets to get a guy, because then you're just ruining your draft pick chances, as bad as that sounds. And we're only 10 games into this season, but I don't know what style of trade this management team needs to be looking at, because maybe you just need to wait for Pinto to get healthy, and maybe that really minimizes a lot of your problems. But I don't know.
Patience is a virtue, and it's a lot easier said than done, especially when Ottawa has have one win in their last seven games. It's a team that's 1-5-1 in their last seven. So take that for what it's worth, and unfortunate to send y'all into the weekend on that note, but hope you enjoyed, and we'll be back on Monday for a full breakdown of the game against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Saturday. But for today, we say goodbye. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.